It's Christmas!
Christmas Day, my ass.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces.
An happy blooming Christmas to you and all.
If you can believe it, we're already a third of the way through 2024, as it's April, meaning there's only another third of the year until the wintry, spooky, festive season can begin. But to be honest, it always begins here on Merry Britsmas. And in our April episode, we're celebrating birthdays. It's a little bit selfish because April is the month of my birthday. So I thought I'd make some interesting birthday connections for some festive choices. We're going to check out a seasonal album by an acclaimed award-winning talent show singer with an April birthday, watch a TV show linked to a playwright, who I'm pretty sure you all know, who was born or at least baptised in April, and find out about some famous Brits with Christmas Day birthdays. Let's begin with a talent show winner from the third season of X Factor in 2006. She previously attended the Brit School, but found fame with her success on the show. Leona Lewis was the standout winner of X Factor that year, with her powerhouse soulful voice, and it led to her debut album called Spirit, becoming the fourth best-selling album of the 2000s in the UK. And the lead single, Bleeding Love, hit number one and became the best-selling single of 2007. She went on to record the theme song for the first Avatar film, release four more studio albums, even appear in a couple of films and TV shows, and do some stage work in Cats. She won two MOBO awards, an MTV award, two World Music Awards, and has been nominated for Brits and Grammys. But I'm ranting about her because, firstly, she was born on the 3rd of April 1985, so she shares an April birthday with me. But she's also released a festive album called Christmas with Love in 2013. It was her fourth studio album, and rumours were that she was struggling after her third album, Glass Heart, did not do very well in the charts. In June 2013, a production duo called Magic It tweeted about being in the studio with Leona, and she confirmed it the next month, adding that psycho label boss Simon Cowell came up with the idea of a Christmas album. She said she wanted to do something different after the previous record, and Christmas just seemed to fit. She recorded it in Brighton on the south coast of England over the course of summer 2013, and of course, a heatwave made it difficult, so they had to crank up the air conditioning to create a winter feeling in the studio. She looked for a vintage retro feel, and the cover of the album reflects this, with the track listing above the many photos of Leona in festive red, posing with ribbons and presents in a very 60s style. The album's production uses the Spectre Wall of Sound technique, famously used on his album of the 60s. Critics acclaim the style and sound of the music, and it was a big success. It had a big campaign around it as well, with Leona singing at the London Regent Street Light Ceremony, the Rockefeller Tree switch on, and appearing on television across the US and Europe. The album has three original songs and seven covers, and a re-release of the record in 2021 added one new original and an odd Disco Bee Gees cover for some reason. But let's focus on the Christmas covers first. Like I said, they're really fun and retro takes, and the first song, Winter Wonderland, really takes that to heart. We also have a good version of Christmas Baby Please Come Home. Snow's coming down. very slow and aptly soulful White Christmas. Sweet takes on some classic carols such as Ave Maria, Silent Night, and Ho Holy Night. Oh, good bit of news, because there's also space for a cover of a very British classic in glam rock band Wizards' I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Take a deeper dive into the originals, beginning with Mr. Right, a sweet song that plays with the usual idea of being lonely at Christmas without someone to love, seeking that Mr. Right, the someone to spend holidays with, wrapped up in a retro pop sound. Don't you know that I'm so lonely this Christmas? More classical is the religious tinge of Your Hallelujah, which I find a little boring as a song personally, to be honest.
Watch the snow gently fall down. Someone needs you, someone loves you.
And finally, the big pop banger, One More Sleep, a super fun pop song that riles up the excitement of waiting for Christmas with plenty of festive imagery, loving ideas and a sing-along chorus. It's the fourth biggest streamed Christmas song of the 21st century in the UK. It uses Motown-inspired sounds to add that extra vintage oomph that helped make the song a bit of a modern Christmas classic, I think. Praise from critics put it alongside Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree as a modern festive pop song to get a Christmas party going, and I agree completely. Check out another podcast in the Christmas Podcast Network.
What does a poet and his friends who are Christmas geeks do when they get together? They get drunk and argue about Yuletide lit. It's time to get lit for Christmas. Join us as we open the liquor cabinet, grab a book off the shelf, and have a little boozy conversation about what warms our chestnuts and makes us holly and jolly. Find out the best screwdriver to scrooge with. Get the recipe for Gift of the Magi mojitos. Enjoy a little peppermint patty Polar Express. Everyone's welcome at this party. It's time to do some Jingle Bell Jello shots and talk about the great, and maybe not so great, works of Christmas literature. Hurry up, the fireplace is roaring and Bing Crosby's crooning. We're two drinks in, and the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future are flowing. Grab a cup of cheer and find a place on the couch. It is time to get lit for Christmas.
Another famous Brit with an April birthday is probably one of the most famous Brits of all time. So famous, in fact, their last name has become an adjective to describe a time period in the theatrical world. William Shakespeare's birthday is actually unknown, but we have records of him being baptised on the 26th of April 1554, and babies were usually baptised around 3 days after birth, so we're pretty darn certain he was born in late April, and the 23rd of April is often taken as his birthday. Strangely, he also exited this world on the 23rd of April 1616, so may very well have died on his birthday. I visited his hometown and birth house in Stratford-upon-Avon for the first time this year, something that every English teacher should do by law in the UK, I think. It's a beautiful old market town, and you can visit his birth house, his wife Anne Hathaway's house, and the grounds of his adult house, which is now a garden and historical centre, after the original house was torn down, I think a couple of hundred years ago. I went around his birth house, which is a fascinating look at a house that's around 500 years old, and I always love a good gift shop at the end. Well, you may be asking, that's lovely and all, Adam, but where's the Christmas connection? Well, firstly, let's take a brief look at his plays. And actually, there's only three references to the festive season across his work. In Love's Labour's Lost, it says, "At Christmas I no more desire a rose than wish a snow in May's newfangled mirth." And later, in the same play, a quote says, "To dash it like a Christmas comedy." And finally, in the prologue of The Taming of the Shrew, "Let them play it. Is it not a comedy, a Christmas gambold, or a tumbling trick with gamble being to play or mess around?" Other than that, Twelfth Night is obviously named for, and potentially written for, the end of the Christmas celebrations on Twelfth Night itself. But even though I'm talking about Shakespeare, I'm actually talking about him because there's a link to a TV show. There is a show that links together Christmas and Shakespeare. It was called Upstart Crow, and this was a term that was used to describe William Shakespeare by a rival playwright at the time of his career, but it's also a BBC sitcom about the life of William Shakespeare, imagining the day-to-day life in a sitcom style. Shakespeare is played by David Mitchell, who you'd recognise from Peep Show and panel shows like Would I Lie to You? His wife, Anne Hathaway, is played by TV presenter and actor Lisa Tarbuck. They've got their eldest daughter with them, Susanna, played by Helen Monks. And also Shakespeare's mother and father live with them, played by Paula Wilcox and comedy sketch legend Harry Enfield. Other key characters include Shakespeare's actors such as Henry Connell, Richard Burbage and William Kemp, as well as the landlady's daughter, Kate, who also wants to act despite the rules around men only being allowed to perform at this time. There's also a friend of Shakespeare, Kit Marlowe, another playwright and a spy. And there's also the rival playwright and enemy of Shakespeare, Robert Greene, played by the brilliant Mark Heap of Spaced and Friday Night Dinner. It's a big ensemble cast. The show started in 2016 and has had three seasons along with three Christmas specials. It was even turned into a short-run stage adaptation in 2020 and 2022. We're going to discuss the first Christmas special, which came after the second season, airing on Christmas Day in 2017 and called A Christmas Crow. We begin the episode with Will not enjoying the holidays.
"Do not get me started, because I will not stop.
Father's home.
Do not get me started.
Home for Christmas.
And I said don't get me started, and now you've gone and started me."
And he makes it clear why. with a modern allusion to the British transport system.
That special time when the coach companies of England make their annual contribution to the festive spirit by running their deceptively titled holiday service. I mean, why? Just why? The entire country's on the move, so here's an idea. Let's reroute or cancel every single coach in England. By St. Thomas's toasted tea cakes, 'tis lucky the three wise men didn't travel to the manger by public coach. Jesus would have been crucified and risen again by the time they got there.
And Will's parents are upset about a modern Christmas and how things have changed.
In my day, under Queen Mary, the Advent fast lasted until Christmas morning, which in my view is the proper way. Starting Christmas as early as Christmas Eve is just wrong.
It's all wrong. The true meaning of Christmas is forgotten.
A surprisingly spiritual observation, Dad.
It's all about baby flipping Jesus these days. What's he got to do with it?
We find out Grandad has become the Lord of Misrule for the area.
I shall quaff and gorge, play tricks and mark mischief.
And in what respect will this differ from the rest of the year?
The Lord of Misrule is a disgusting common tradition.
You love it when I get a bit cheeky.
I do not love it.
And unfortunately, Will needs to go back to London to put on a play for Queen Elizabeth.
I can't believe you're home this early, Will. Now we're all set for a cosy family holiday. Just us, like you promised me.
Absolutely, and we will definitely have a cosy Christmas with just us, like I promised. But it isn't going to start quite yet, because I must return to London.
Back to London before Christmas? Why would you do that?
Probably got a fancy woman in town. That's what blokes usually do at this time of year. Sneak off to buy a secret present for the mistress.
Why are you rushing back, Will?
Well, astonishingly, Dad is sort of right. It is a woman, and she's about as fancy as you can get. I've had such success this year that the Queen has commissioned me to produce a play for her Christmas feasting.
Meanwhile, Kate is expressing her love of Christmas. Well, her love of fasting.
So exciting! Fasting throughout Advent, denying oneself all but the most basic sustenance. Then on Christmas Eve, fasting again. Then waking up on Christmas morn, all a tingle, ready for the big morning fast, which gets you in just the right mood for distributing alms and washing the feet of the poor. It's all so exciting and Christmassy!
And Will's wife Anne hears about a big present, but misunderstands who it's for.
Manny needs to buy that big special present.
Absolutely.
For your wife, Anne.
Anne? God, no. The Queen.
Yeah, all who come to court at Christmas must bring the monarch a gift.
And it had better be a good one. Christmas gifts for the monarch are deeply significant. In 1581, Sir Philip Sidney, who had been thought a rebel, bought Liz a golden whip, which symbolised his recognition of her divine authority.
Yeah, well, that was the official version, although the fluffy wrist irons and the card saying, "I've been a very naughty boy," may suggest a different story.
I hope you've also given some thought to what you would give Mrs. Shakespeare, Mr. Shakespeare.
Of course, Kate. I've planned something really special. Writ of I various verses of love and dedicated all to her. I shall place them in a small casket, a jewel box, in fact, for was ever there a jewel more sparkling than love?
Sounds kind of lame, Will.
Shakespeare's nemesis Robert Greene greets Will and his London friends in a jovial mood.
The Queen's commission to write a Christmas play for the court will have eaten into his soul like a weevil through a Christmas Stilton.
The compliments of the season to you, Mr. Shakespeare, Mr. Marlowe, Miss Kate, and you also, good yeoman, Ned Bottom, is it not?
Here, Sarah,
take this penny for the birth of our Saviour.
A penny? You're giving me a week's wages.
Not enough. Take two, good Ned, for if I may paraphrase the old song, 'tis the season to give lolly.
And Will tells them all of some odd festive family games.
There will be warm ale and pie, and all will play Snuffle the Truffle.
Ooh, now I like the sound of that.
Oh, it's marvellous fun. We take a piece of bread to represent the truffle, put it on the floor, and then all will play pigs trying to snuffle at the bread whilst oinking most mightily.
Is there any more?
Absolutely, we love games. After Snuffle the Truffle, we generally play Snaffle the Apple, where we take a piece of bread to represent the apple, place it on the floor, and then all will play donkeys trying to snaffle the apple whilst braying most mightily. Then there's Make Merry with the Berry, where we take a piece of bread to represent the bread.
Yes, I think we get it.
At the theatre, the actors debate the Christmassiness of the play, which sounds oddly like a modern-day panto.
This be naught but a laughable ragbag of songs, silly misunderstandings, a girl dressed as a boy, and a lot of characters with silly names. who would ever want a show like that at Christmas?
And on Christmas Day, Will brings everyone back to Stratford for the celebrations.
A wassailing among the leaves of green. Here we come, wandering so fairly to be seen. Love and joy shaking you, and to you your wassail too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year.
Brilliant! Well done, son. I never knew you had it in you.
But Shakespeare's nemesis Robert Greene uses the snuffle chaos to reveal his real reason for the pretense of jollity and charity.
Look at them, with their imbecilic laughter, their pathetic good fellowship and fun. Little do they know that even as they buff and bray, caught are they in my web of lies and plots. For I am come hither this Christmas to destroy the crow. He has bought a jewel as a present for the Queen, and I intend to steal it. Without a gift for the monarch, his play will instantly be cancelled, and likely too will his life be forfeit.
And during his monologue, Shakespeare's wife Anne discovers the beautiful expensive jewellery and seems very excited about it. But Christmas morning brings disappointment. And see if you can spot the British festive film connection.
I want to choose my own, and I know exactly the one I want. If your dad's put it in here, and I see he has.
Yes, I have, my dearest Anne. Tis something from my very heart.
A bit of paper.
Poems, my lover. I have writ some verse for thee. You all right, my sweet?
Yeah, lovely. And if you'd like to take the kids downstairs, Will, get them ready for the feasting and I just need a moment.
All right, come on, kids. Let's go and light a fire. Bring the presents.
I've looked at love from both sides now. From good to ill, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know.
Yes, that was an oldie styly take on Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now, of course linking to Emma Thompson's heartbreaking turn in Love Actually, as a wife wronged by a gift from her wicked husband Alan Rickman. But Will is straight-faced as she attempts to challenge him on the present.
If you were in my position, what would you do?
What position is that?
Well, imagine that your husband had bought a gold necklace and come Christmas, he gave it to somebody else.
Yes, that's right, the Queen.
I mean, would you wait to find out if it was just a necklace? If it was sex and a necklace, or worst of all, if it was a necklace and love?
It's none of those things. It's a necklace for the Queen.
Would you stay, knowing that things would always be a little bit worse? Would you cut and run the Queen? Yes.
As you know, every person who comes to court at Christmas must give a gift on pain of death. Thus have I spent nearly half a year's income on a necklace for she who already has enough necklaces to satisfy a particularly vain and shallow giraffe.
And she then actually hears the poem that was written for her as a gift.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate.
My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love is deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
Oh, fine verse indeed, Will. He gets it from my side, of course.
Whoever loved that loved not at first sight?
Dad, that's like totally beautiful.
And another of my phrases destined, in my view, to enter common usage.
Doubt thou the stars are fire. Doubt that the sun doth move. Doubt truth to be a liar, but never doubt I love.
What a load of crappage. Move does not rhyme with love.
Mrs. S, I think you just got the best Christmas present since the shepherds pledged only their hearts to the infant Jesus.
Yes, and I shall carry it with me forever. I will never let it go.
We then jump to Hampton Court Palace to find the Queen, who is of course played by Dame Emma Thompson, and she makes a flamboyant speech.
In a wounded and divided country,
Ever must we make windows into men's souls and oftentimes kill them for what we find there. I have known fear. When a child, I was dismissed and despised. I was female. I was Protestant. And I was a ginge. Now I am queen, and it is I who must decide who is to be despised. But it is Christmas, and so I say goodwill to all, particularly gingers.
But when delivering the gift, Will finds it is missing thanks to Green, but his wife comes forward with her poetry to give to the Queen instead.
Thank you, Master Shakespeare. It is a beautiful gift. Whomsoever you do love is a lucky woman indeed.
Majesty, I love thee, as do all thy subjects.
Yes, I know. They have to, when they're not trying to kill me. The love contained within your verse is of a different order. It speaks not of duty, nor yet of fear. It is the love felt by one person for just one other, given freely and unselfishly. Such a love is not for me, for I am married to England.
Back home in bed, Will and Anne catch up on the success of the play and being ahead of his time.
Twelfth Night. It's got a lovely ring to it, hasn't it? A bit better than Eighth Night, if you want my opinion.
There may be something in what you say. Easy to change, since cleverly the title has literally nothing to do with the play.
Shame you never got to see it performed.
It'll keep. Might shelve it for a few years anyway. Not sure the world's ready for a non-gender-specific trans comedy yet.
It will be one day, doll. You're just a bit ahead of your time, that's all. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men.
And women.
Of course. And also those who, like my Viola, aren't exactly sure.
Even in its historical setting, it's very festive and full of allusions to Christmas past, and little humorous nods to Christmas in the present as well. The show is full of jokes, physical and linguistic, and is worth watching for some of the silliness alone. Add in a Love Actually reference and you've sold it to me even more. As an English teacher, I do enjoy the Shakespearean and historical connections. But the show also has sentimental moments, as with his wife in the Queen's final speech, and much more dramatic moments come in later in the show as well. I'd recommend checking it out if you can find it on the BBC somewhere. And there are two more festive specials. And finally, let's wrap things up with some birthday celebrations, kind of. I thought I'd take a look at some famous British people who share birthdays with Jesus Christ, aka being born on the 25th of December. I also wanted to see if any of them had any festive connections, and they generally do, as everyone should in my opinion. First up is Shane McGowan, born in Britain, but Irish in heritage, so I've included him on my British podcast. He was born on Christmas Day 1957, and sadly passed away quite recently on the 30th of November last year. If you don't know who he was the lead singer of seminal Irish punk band The Pogues, who used traditional music, ideas and sounds with modern punk, rock and alternative tones. His songwriting and lyrics have been praised for seeing through to the common man and the experience of people, especially in Irish and working class communities. Some of their best songs include A Rainy Night in Soho, Dark Streets of London, and Summer of Siam. Unfortunately, he also struggled greatly with alcohol and drug dependency, even being dismissed from the Pogues in the early 90s due to his troubles. He managed to continue making music and had bouts of better health, but died only aged 65 due to pneumonia. But of course, his Christmas connection, beyond his birthday, is one of the most beloved British Christmas songs of all time, and I've covered it on the podcast before. The Pogues with Kirsty MacColl's Fairy Tale of New York, still the most played Christmas song in the UK. Next up for a festive birthday is Florian Cloud Boineville Armstrong, Who, might you ask? Well, maybe for good reason. She's better known as Dido, a singer-songwriter from London born on Christmas Day in 1971. She became an international pop star with her debut album No Angel in 1999, and hit singles such as Here With Me and Thank You. She went on to work with Eminem on the smash hit song Stan. She won 2 Brit Awards and released 5 more albums, with her second album Life for Rent doing almost as well as her debut. She was nominated for an Oscar for Best Song from 127 Hours in 2011, and in 2019 she won a special Ivor Novello Award for songwriting. She has a couple of musical Christmas connections, firstly releasing a one-off song called Christmas Day for a compilation in 2000.
A gentleman came riding past on a snow blue winter's day. He asked to drink by our fire and I was pleased to let him stay. He drank there quietly for a while and then he turned and said to me, your eyes are green like summer grass, your lips are red like a fresh cut rose, your hair is soft like an Irish dream, and your voice.
And later on in 2004 took part in the 20th anniversary of Band Aid, with Band Aid 20's cover of Do They Know It's Christmas, alongside artists such as Chris Martin, Dizzy Rascal and the Sugar Babes.
It's Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shame.
And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around.
Another festive birthday celebrated by Scottish pop superstar Annie Lennox of the Eurythmics. With the Eurythmics, she's had a string of hits, including There Must Be an Angel, Sweet Dreams, and Here Comes the Rain Again. Then she went solo and continued to have success throughout the 80s and 90s with hits like Why, Walking on Broken Glass, and Love Song for a Vampire. She's won multiple Grammys, Brit Awards, MTV Awards, and was given an OBE in 2010 for humanitarian work. If this wasn't enough, she even won a Golden Globe and Oscar for a song from The Lord of the Rings Return of the King. I could go on and on about Annie Lennox, but let's check out some festive vibes. Firstly, she had a song in one of my all-time favourite Christmas films, performing Put a Little Love in Your Heart with Al Green for 1988's Scrooged.
Oh, please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart.
In 2010, released a really interesting record called A Christmas Cornucopia, with mostly covers of carols and traditional songs such as The First Noel.
In fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
And finally, one last Christmas birthday for a footballer. Chris Kamara, born Christmas Day 1957. He was a footballer who played in midfield for Portsmouth FC at the start of his career in 75, before going on to play for Swindon, Brentford and Stoke City. Upon retiring, he became a football pundit, discussing and analysing games for Sky Television from the late 90s until 2022. And he became a bit of an amusing character due to his humorous approach to discussing football and some high-profile gaffes, including mistaking a red card sending off of a player for a substitution live on air. But why am I talking about a footballer? How can he have a Christmas connection? Well, for some unknown reason, Chris Kamara decided he wanted to sing as well, and has released 2, yes 2, full-length Christmas albums. Here's to Christmas in 2019 and a Happy New Year in 2020, with covers of tracks such as Winter Wonderland and It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
Everywhere you go, take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight you'll see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Yen.
Well, a big, big happy birthday to all of the people I've mentioned on the show, and happy birthday to any other listeners with April birthdays like me and Leona and Big Bill Shakespeare. If you know anyone else with a Christmas birthday, or you do, let me know and know how you celebrate this, as I know some people prefer to celebrate it on another day instead of having it all mixed up together. You can get in touch with me on social media, all Merry Britsmas. Next month, we'll almost be halfway through the year and the Christmas countdown will continue here. Also, before you leave, check out the Total Christmas podcast. I've been making some cheeky appearances on there in the last couple of episodes, discussing British Christmas things with the amazing host Jack. And it's a really fun podcast, although I'm unsure if I bring anything funnier to the table than he does. But regardless, check out his awesome podcast.
An happy blooming Christmas to you and all.